Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Republican candidate for governor was in Marion County recently. Let's go in-depth with Ron Corbett, former mayor of Cedar Rapids. Ron, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Newton and graduated in 1978. This was some good times for Newton. Maytag was really doing very well, and most of the kids I graduated with went to work at Maytag like their parents did. But I decided to go to college. I played football up at Morningside in Sioux City, and then eventually transferred down to Cornell College in Mount Vernon and graduated from Cornell with a business and marketing degree, and then started my business life in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in the early 80s, and decided that the state wasn't doing enough to keep young people in the state during this farm crisis we had, and I ran for the Iowa legislature. Got elected at the age of 26, probably was a little green behind the ears, but worked my way up and became appropriations chairman during a critical time when Iowa's budget wasn't balanced and they were spending more than they were taking in and building up deficits. And as appropriations chairman, I guided the state out of that budget mess and eventually was elected as Speaker of the House by my colleagues in 1994 and served for 5 years as Speaker. But I had some family issues at home. I had an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and one on the way. And I needed to be a father, not a Speaker of the House, and moved back to Cedar Rapids and continued my business career. And then after the flood of 2008 that Cedar Rapids had, I ran for mayor and served for 8 years as mayor of Cedar Rapids, helping our community rebuild from a very challenging natural disaster. But I believe in term limits and give somebody else a chance, and didn't run for re-election last year. And now I'm running for governor of state of Iowa on a Republican ticket against Governor Kim Reynolds.
Well, and you hit it sort of big time in the national media for your leadership in recovering from those 2008 floods. How did that happen? What had to come together between leadership of you, the council, and the people of Cedar Rapids, the business leaders, everybody? How do you organize and make something like that happen?
Well, we had to do two things. The first thing we had to do was decide whether we were going to settle for more or settle for less when it came to rebuilding our community. Were we going to try and be better and more vibrant than we were before the flood? And we decided to settle for more, that we were going to rebuild Cedar Rapids that was going to be stronger and more vibrant than it was before the flood. The second thing we had to do was bring people together. You see, as a mayor of a community, we have a river that actually divides Cedar Rapids. And sometimes that divide was pretty wide, the east side versus the west side, labor versus business, neighborhoods versus the downtown. See, when you're not working together, you're not accomplishing anything. And that was something that I really felt needed to do. So I brought the community together and realized I represented everybody in town, but the flood-impacted areas needed to have our top priority. And we began that long process of rebuilding the flood-impacted areas. And when we did, that not only strengthened the flood-impacted areas, but it strengthened the whole town. And I really believe in local government, and I don't like all these top-down decisions out of Des Moines or out of Washington, D.C. And I think the Cedar Rapids story proves that when local people are empowered to get the job done, they're going to rise to the occasion and get it done.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Ron Corbett, former mayor of Cedar Rapids, who's challenging Republican Governor Kim Reynolds in the primaries.
Why challenge Governor Kim Reynolds in the primary?
Competition I'm a fiscal conservative. I believe in the free enterprise system, capitalism, and at the heart of that is competition. Competition makes us better. It makes businesses better. It makes sports teams better. It makes us better as individuals. So I don't know why we should just automatically hand the nomination to Governor Reynolds. We don't. This isn't an appointment process. It's not an anointment process. It's an election process. And I want the people of Iowa, Republicans that are going to vote in the primary June 5th, or independent that are Republican leaning, or even Democrats that vote for the person, not the party, to have a choice on the Republican side. I just look back 4 years ago when the Democrats tried to maneuver Bruce Braley to be the heir apparent to Tom Harkin. He didn't have a primary. The donor class got behind him. And on the Republican side, we had a very active primary. Unknown state senator from Southwest Iowa, Joni Ernst, came out of that primary like a rocket, and it ended up slingshotting her to winning that Senate seat. When Bruce Braley, he was rusty and he was flat-footed. So competition is good for the individuals, but it's also good for the party. And there are some clear differences between myself and Governor Reynolds. And I think it's important for the people of Iowa to kick the tires of their elected officials and just not automatically buy it because Governor Branstad said, this is who I want to govern.
What is the main issue where you differ with the governor? What do you really want to challenge her perspective on and what she's done?
Well, there's really five issues that we differ on, and each one of them, you know, can take a long time to, you know, review and go over. Number one, our state isn't very competitive when it comes to our tax rates. They need to be more welcoming. We're a slow growth state. 70 of 99 counties lost population since 2010. It's starting to hurt our ability economically to grow. When businesses can't find employees, they can't grow or expand. And right now, our unemployment rate is too low. So I think our income tax rate of 8.98 is out of line. I advocate for a 3% flat tax to make our state more competitive, also simplify the tax system, and also make it fairer. That's a big issue. That's a big difference between the governor and I.
But the governor just released a new tax plan. Does that address any of your issues?
Her tax plan is really kind of timid. In a way, she gets rid of all the deductions in the first 2 years, but the tax cut doesn't go into effect for 6 years. I mean, we have the fourth highest tax rate. I think under the governor's plan, it only brings us down to 11. We have to be a little more aggressive than that. And when it's fully implemented, we only reduce our regional position by one state. So it's not bold. You know, the tax increases that she has on the internet go into effect day one, but the tax cut doesn't go into effect until at the end of year six. So I appreciate that she recognizes the overall need to address the income tax code, but this plan really falls short.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Ron Corbett, former mayor of Cedar Rapids, who's challenging Republican Governor Kim Reynolds in the primaries. Okay, what are some of the other issues then?
Second issue is water quality. I'm dealing with Cedar Rapids and flood, so this issue of water quality is also paired with water quantity. A lot of communities, you know, face flooding, so it's more than just a water quality issue. It's really a water management issue. And I support the Natural Resources and Outdoor Protection Trust Fund. This was something the voters of Iowa put in the Constitution. You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to amend your constitution. It's rarely done. We've only done it a few times in the last 20 years, and this was one where the voters said, you know, we could care about the quality of our water and the quantity of our water. So I support that. That takes 3/8 of a sales tax and dedicates it to issues to improve our water quality. I like it because it's, one, it's been voter approved. Two, it's an annual appropriation. Three, it's sustainable. And four, it's constitutionally protected. So the politicians can't, you know, siphon off the money some future years. Well, the governor and I disagree on that. She doesn't support it. She'd rather have some annual appropriations. Well, that's not sustainable. Look at what's happening with the budget right now. They're making mid-year budget cuts to community colleges, and the Board of Regents or the universities are making cuts there. So I just think this annual sustainable effort is really what the state needs.
And then beyond water quality, yeah, could you?
Yeah, I said there were five, so I've got three more to go. The third one is just the overall budget management. And again, last year the governor had to borrow $110 million to balance the budget, and then that wasn't enough. They had to borrow another $13 million. And when the government borrows money for ongoing expenses, that means they're spending more than they're taking in. And as a fiscal conservative, I can't endorse that type of fiscal policy, because what happens in the long run is that the taxpayers actually suffer. So that debt that the governor had last year was all supposed to be paid off this year, but she's not doing it. She's going to pay some of it off this year, and then she's going to pay some of it off next year. She's monetizing that debt. So for example, this year, they're going to give schools, our K-12 system, a 1% increase. Now, inflation's 2.1%, so that's half the rate of inflation. It's the second year in a row where the schools have gotten 1% less than inflation. But because the governor has mismanaged the budget, next year, the first thing the legislature is going to have to do is continue to pay back that debt, 50-some million dollars. Well, what's the school growth going to be next year? Probably another 1%. I mean, there's a lot of people that are on Social Security, and they got a 2% increase in their Social Security. But they probably don't really feel like they're getting ahead. They probably still feel like they're treading water or even falling behind when you factor in, you know, their Medicare premiums. Or just take someone that works. I mean, look at the middle class over the last 10, 15 years. They've really been frustrated with stagnant wages. Why? Because the wages haven't been keeping up with inflation. You want to be able to get more than just the cost of living. Cost of living, inflation just kind of keeps you even. You're not getting ahead. Well, we're giving our schools 1%, half of the inflation rate. And I'm really concerned because public education has always been our calling card in Iowa. It's really what kept people here or brought people to Iowa or even boomeranged people back after they left to start raising a family because they wanted a good quality education. So you can see how this budget mismanagement is hurting our K-12 schools, and it's also hurting our community colleges. On the fourth issue, the governor came up with this big scheme to hire these managed care organizations outside the state of Iowa to run our Medicaid budget, and it's been a disaster. They promised there was going to be savings of $50 million, but there wasn't. And the managed care organizations have really been pinching back the providers or pinching back the beneficiaries and denying services. You know, these are people in the disabled special needs community. They're are elderly that are on Title 19 that are in a nursing home for the final years of their life, or they're low income people that are working that don't have health insurance at their employer that struggle. This is the population that the Medicaid budget services, and it's been a disaster. And interesting enough, the governor is going to give the managed care organizations over a 3% increase in reimbursements. So I hear all these people in Des Moines sometimes say, well, the budget's tight, we can't afford it. We can only afford to give schools 1%. Well, wait a second. Then why are you giving the managed care organizations, the for-profit managed care organizations, 3%? You know, why are you giving Apple $1 billion, $20 million when they just, had a profit of $20 billion? So there's money there, and the establishment can always find the money for what they want to do. But when it comes to the program like the Medicaid, I think we need to make some course adjustments on that. And then the final issue is how the governors manage the mental health issue. And when they made these top-down decision to close Clarinda, close Mount Pleasant, close the girls' home in Toledo, they did that top-down, kind of like they did the Medicaid budget, this top-down decision without even listening to the people. And what that did was just compress the system. So as you talk to county sheriffs, they'll tell you they're dealing with mental health issues in the jail. People should be in treatment, not in jail. And if you talk to the hospitals, they'll tell you that they're dealing with mental health issues in the emergency room. Now, the most expensive way to deliver any type of health care is the emergency room setting. So you see, the state may have saved some money when they closed down the mental health institutes, but the people didn't disappear, just compressed it in the system, pushed it down to the local level, which pushes pressure on property taxes. So these are five areas that I want to debate the governor on. And I've challenged her to some debates on each one of these subjects. But as of now, she won't debate me. And I think that's a disservice to the people of Iowa, because it's a time-honored tradition to debate and talk about these issues. And the fact that we've had Governor Branstad for so long, longest-serving governor, we have a chance to elect someone new, we ought to really take this opportunity to debate the issues.
Thanks to Ron Corbett for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.